Going to a central banker for political advice is never a good idea.
What?
Going to a central banker for political advice is never a good idea.
I'm Frank Vaughn. It's January 22nd, 2026. And generally speaking, I don't do the whole I told you so thing or I predicted it thing. But I'll tell you, when the video that I make, which makes a very specific prediction, is barely uploaded by the time the prediction comes true, I have to point it out. And it actually is topically important. It's very worthy as a news item. The fact that Carney's wheels were barely up on his plane leaving Davos before the Europeans stabbed Canada in the back. Like I said yesterday, we will be thrown to the wolves. They will not come to our rescue. They never have. They never will. And once again, Canada is left on its own. This is what they do. This is how it goes. They get a Canadian prime minister to get up and say a bunch of tough words. They applaud very loudly because they want to encourage him to go all the way. And then as soon as he's gone, he left early. That also indicates something, because when you're fighting an opponent, when you're actually going toe-to-toe, you don't leave the battle space. You don't leave the battlefield. You stay. You're the last one out the door. You shake every single hand. You make yourself present in every single situation where your opponent actually is. And now Carney's made it very clear. Donald Trump is our opponent. And more broadly, the Americans are our opponent. We're going to divorce ourselves from a country that gives us 80% of our export dollars. Doesn't make any sense. We know it doesn't make any sense. One of the surprising things, actually, I'll just touch on this briefly, is I got an enormous amount of messages and comments yesterday from people on the other side, let's say, even though I don't really have a side, the other side of the argument. And they said, where exactly in Carney's speech did he say that our living standards will decline, or that taxes will go up, or social services will get cut? And the only thing I can say to them is, like, if you listen to the speech, try reading a transcript, because it's in there. You might have missed it, because the really grim, dark stuff occurs in snippets. It's a 15-minute speech, 12 minutes, whatever it was. And the relevant paragraphs where he promises doom and gloom to Canadians under his watch, you might have missed them. I don't know how people are missing it. That's the surprising thing. I don't know. It blows my mind that people could hear that speech and not understand it's a message of doom for all of us. And a doom that's chasing some promise of future prosperity that we can never achieve. We cannot go it alone without the United States. It's impossible. But anyway, the headline on screen is Greentanamo. Trump deal gives U.S. sovereignty over small pockets of Greenland for military bases. We don't know all the details yet, still, as of today. But the New York Times reported that following a NATO meeting on Wednesday where top military officers from the alliance's member states discussed a compromise in which Denmark would give the United States sovereignty over small pockets of Greenlandic land where the United States could build military bases. It's probably going to be more comprehensive than that. Let me tell you. We went from the Europeans saying they're going to fight if the Americans invade militarily. They're going to fight them off, and Canada's going to send some troops. And what does the United States get but permission to build military bases on Greenland and park their troops and their submarines and their military power there on an ongoing basis on sovereign territory? So basically, the Americans got exactly what they wanted. And from that platform, they will have way more leverage, probably total leverage, on what happens to Greenland. So I guess on paper, it's still Denmark's territory, but it'll be occupied by U.S. troops. So instead of fighting, they actually agreed to what Trump wanted. But don't expect CBC to spin it that way. You know, I have a proposal, actually. Why don't we just roll Global News and CTV and all of the mainstream news outlets, except for The Sun and the National Post, because they actually do things a little different at those organizations. Roll them all into the CBC, because basically they're all the same claptrap. Carney's Davos speech strikes chord in Mexico. And then we have, wait a minute, that's not what I wanted. They find a former Greenland MP, because they couldn't get an actual MP to comment on the record. We can never really trust America again. An angry woman, they found one. Tilly Martinussen, a former member of parliament in Greenland, says people in Nuuk haven't heard any details about the U.S. President Donald Trump deal teased on Wednesday, but she said Greenlanders won't trust him again. Doesn't matter if you trust him. He got what he wanted. He won. But the CBC is not spinning it that way. There's an article somewhere on here. I don't even need to bring it up. They're saying that it was a total retreat for Trump and a total loss. The United States will be militarily occupying Greenland. That's the reality. Now, you can color a map a shade of anything you want, but if it's U.S. forces stationed on the island with permanent basing rights on sovereign U.S. territory that is carved out of Greenland for the United States, that's what we call a fait accompli. And I suppose if the Greenland deal was the only thing that happened, I can't say it wouldn't be so bad. I guess it would be less bad, but that's not all that happened. Remember, Carney said China was Canada's principal strategic threat during the election. And we went from that to a reset where we're going to embrace them at the expense of losing America as a trading partner so that we can access $37 billion in exports. Now, if you divide the Canadian population into $37 billion and then you account for costs, we're coming up a bit short. China doesn't want what we have. They want our raw materials and they want access to the Arctic. We'll get into that. But let's listen to the Secretary General for a moment here.
And when it comes to the Arctic, I think President Trump is right.
What? He's right? Trump is right?
Other leaders in NATO are right. We need to defend the Arctic. We know that the sea lanes are opening up. We know that China and Russia are increasingly active in the Arctic. There are 8 countries bordering on the Arctic. 7 are a member of NATO. That's Finland and Sweden and Norway and Denmark, Iceland, Canada and the US. And there's only 1 country bordering on the Arctic outside NATO, and that's Russia. And I would argue there is a 9th country, which is China, which is increasingly active in the Arctic region. So,
okay, so I don't want to belabor this point. I think you get the point. Carney's trying to downplay the Chinese threat in the Arctic, and NATO slammed the door on that. And just so we understand, it's not some sort of conspiracy theory. The Wall Street Journal, no friend of the Trump administration, says China's push to master the Arctic opens an alarming shortcut to the United States. National security officials say Chinese submarines and icebreakers pose a new military threat from the high north. Now, I know what you're thinking. China doesn't border the Arctic. What is this all about? Doesn't matter. We have a term in strategy gaming because I like to play games sometimes. I don't play much anymore. I would love to. I usually have Europa Universalis 4 open on my desktop. If you look at my Steam statistics, it says I've got something like 15,000 or 20,000 hours in the game because it's minimized and it just sits there waiting for me to get back to it. But anyway, there's a term called border gore. I'm going to show you some... I want to do this one first. Sea border gore. This is China. That red line that you see is China's claim to the South China Sea. Now, it's just so ridiculous. I laugh every time I see it because they're just like, yeah, it's all ours. It's completely ours. We're just going to take it all. Like, there's the Philippines, there's Vietnam, there's Malaysia. They all have competing claims, but China's basically saying we own all of it. It's not just there. They have overlapping claims, this ongoing dispute with Japan, and I'm sure they'll come up with some sort of creative way to get their foot in the door in the Arctic because, look, they're an expansive nation. They're one of the hegemons. They're a regional hegemon. They are part of the multipolar order that I will give Mark Carney credit. He's correct. There is a new world order coming. It is not based on Europe. It's not based on the city. It's going to be based around regional hegemons. Everybody's got to kind of wake up to this new reality. There's new settlement layers coming. When it comes to international trade, the BRICS nations are going to have their own international settlement layer backed by gold and by a basket of fiat currencies. Things are changing in the world. And, you know, we're just at the beginning of that change. China, if they are allowed to gain more of a foothold in Canada than they already have, I don't even think they have a foothold on Canada, folks. It's a stranglehold. They openly interfere in our elections, and we do nothing. We bury the reports that identify it. They openly call for the kidnapping of our political candidates, and we do nothing. The triads have been operating in Canada, creating the Vancouver model, money laundering through the real estate system, a lot of those inflated real estate values that we all saw up to 2022 was driven by money laundering by criminal cartels. We have an internationally renowned drug trade, and a lot of it funnels back to the triads, which you can bet your bottom dollar have a relationship with the Chinese Communist Party, likely are run by the Chinese Communist Party. We do nothing. We've had people harassed on our soil on behalf of the Chinese government. We have trained them. We have trained them for Arctic fighting. We've had their troops on our soil. They operate police stations. They own a lot of our resources or have interest in them. That Alberta oil that everybody talks about, Syncrude's big, very big. That's a problem. They harvest our nickel so that they can build their navy, which will eventually, theoretically anyway, be potentially in a war with the United States. So we're helping them build the military that will confront our neighbor. That's a problem. They take 70% of our gold production. We don't keep any of it. Our central bank has no reserves. We ship it all to China. And I can go on and on and on about them owning agricultural land, owning real estate, residential real estate, commercial real estate, our politicians. We got the whole thing that happened in PEI, which people seem to be asleep. I mean, it's on the other side of the country. China doesn't just have a foothold in Canada. They're already well ensconced. And the further ensconced they get, I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility, if we continue down this path with China, that they ask for military basing rights, or they ask for some kind of access to do some training, or, you know, I don't know how this plays out. I just know that the Secretary General of NATO has identified China as a threat and set it on the record. And I also know that the United States has said that they intend to control North America and control the sea lanes, make sure that it's protected. And I also know that Canada, while China is well ensconced here, has no navy to speak of. We don't have a single destroyer, folks. We got 4 diesel-powered submarines. We have an Air Force. We can't even field half the planes. We have a military that's not even at 50% readiness, and it has no depth. We can field it, half of it, we can field it, but we can't keep it armed and operational for more than a couple weeks. We don't have any ammo. I mean, the situation's really bad, and America's not going to stand for it. They recognize that China has been working to undermine the United States, and this administration is determined to kick them out. They're determined to disrupt this drug trade because, you see, it's not just the drugs kill Americans. It's also that the profits of the drug trade, a lot of them end up laundered and back in Chinese hands so that they can then use those funds, which are extracted from the United States, to undermine the health and well-being of Americans through drug addiction. It's quite the plan. I have a lot of respect for them for pulling it off for so long. But now we're entering into new times, and Carney, for whatever reason, is signaling that he's going to be more loyal to the Chinese and to the Europeans, which aren't loyal to him, than he's going to be with our neighbors. That is a huge fundamental problem that will be reckoned with, I would say, in the next 6 months. And then there's also this. Trump unveils his Board of Peace in Davos, a replacement to the UN, or a U.S.-led coalition of the willing. You know, there's a lot that we can parse just in that simple question. The United Nations has become a dysfunctional organization. The global order is sundering. It's being reordered. Currencies are going to fail. The debt crisis is going to come to a head. There's going to be a structural reordering of the way the world works. And even Mark Carney, in his speech, acknowledged that that's going to happen. He's off pace. He's off somewhere else. Like, I don't even understand. The only way I can make sense of Carney sometimes is that he's deliberately trying to tank Canada. It's the only thing that seems to make sense. And after watching Davos play out, I'm even more inclined to think that he is coordinating with the United States, like in some way. If he's actually genuinely trying to align Canada with China, first off, it's a non-starter. Second of all, the Americans aren't going to stand it. But at any rate, Here's this nice picture of the people that would be involved in the Board of Peace. Putin's been involved. Carney flew away. He could have been part of this picture, but he clearly didn't want the optics. So after all I really want to point out here is after Carney left Davos, Davos kept on patting Trump on the back. Look at him. He's the only guy seated. They all glad-handed. They all took pictures. They all met with him. Carney left the field of battle for crying out loud. Like, that's the part that I'm stuck on. If he was really genuinely interested in combating the United States and standing alone and all this tough guy rhetoric and bringing doom to Canada and grim higher taxes and all the things that he talked about in this attempt to undermine the United States, why did he get on his plane and leave the field of battle and give Trump another 48 hours to rig, not rig, to convince Europe to do what he wants? I mean, Carney fled. But don't worry. Surely Pierre Poilievre, the leader of the opposition, potentially future prime minister, will have something to say about the insanity of divorcing ourselves from the United States, the insanity of Carney's promise of doom and gloom for Canada, surely. Now, first off, he should really update his... He's not in Ottawa, Ontario anymore. He's supposed to be a member for Alberta. But what do we got here? January 20th. Carney's new carbon tax will add 17 cents a liter at the pump. So we're still doing axe the homes and build the tax or whatever the slogans are. We're still doing the slogan thing. Davos is going on. It is January 22nd. This post was from January 20th. Now, he did post this on January 20th from Michelle Rempel-Garner, who I'm still blocked by because she couldn't handle the fact that I said that the government has the power to withdraw refugee status and send people home. And that if, I believe at the time, the conversation surrounded not only illegal migration at Wroxham to stop people from their so-called due process, that the government had the power. We just had this lengthy debate many years ago about immigration. She didn't do so well, so she just ended up blocking me. But I give her credit for at least talking to me in public. That she did do that. But anyway, here's this article. Talks about Prime Minister Carney's speech must not be lauded as a victory in and of itself. Now he must do something more difficult, deliver concrete, practical details on how Canada's ruling class will summon the necessary resolve and resources and urgency to break through the decades of inertia and complacency and smash through the taboos and build a nation that is truly strong and self-reliant and get those shovels in the ground and axe that tax and build those homes and powerful paychecks. You know what? I've gone through this. I've read about half of it. I'll give it that. And then I scanned the rest. I should have probably read the whole thing, but like, I don't see the United States mentioned in here at all. Now, I'm going to give. Now, here's a nice line. And he must also boldly reject a decade of post-nationalism and proudly assert a strong Canadian national identity. You know, it might be too late for that because we've already given the country away. The Conservative Party doesn't exactly... They haven't exactly been proud champions of stopping the mass immigration, which is basically flooding out that national identity that we have. People don't even wear poppies anymore. They don't attend Remembrance Day parades. Nobody cares because we've attacked those institutions. Here's a line I really hate. The most patriotic Canadian action His Majesty's loyal opposition can take right now is to hold Prime Minister Carney to account for delivering real results. No, 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 no. First off, this word should be deleted. There isn't a single federal party calling for the deletion of His Majesty. We're not truly independent. We're still under the crown. We're still dealing with the Governor General. We're still dealing with a horrible system, which I've talked about in my videos before. But you know what the Conservative Party really needs to do? You know what Pierre Poilievre needs to do? Instead of trying to win, okay? Because that's what they've been doing. They did it under Scheer. They did it under O'Toole. They did it during the last election. They tried to find the perfect formula for winning an election, and they keep losing elections. What I would like to see is a Conservative Party lead, not campaign to try and get votes, but campaign to try and convince the public that there's merit in their views. So take a stand on some important issues and then communicate to the public why those issues are important. Don't be responsive. be assertive, right? And one of the things that I think they really need to do, desperately, we need a voice that says, you know what, we've gone too far. This idea of divorcing ourselves from the United States is absolute craziness. What are we doing? The liberals have completely destroyed our relationship with America. And if you elect a conservative government, we will fix it. We won't give the country away, but we will get a deal done and we will keep prosperity going. Because right now, you see, there's this unfilled opportunity where Mark Carney is promising doom and gloom. Public service cuts, tax increases, decline in your standard of living, belt tightening across the board. He's telling you what he's going to do, and it's a really terrible message, and it's working. And it's working because there's no credible alternative message. You know what Trump's message was? We're going to make you rich. We're going to make America great again. We're going to be prosperous. We're going to bring the capital back in. We're going to bring the manufacturing back in. We're going to counter. We're going to get rid of drugs. We're going to make everything better. Now, you can think it's all bravado. You can think it's all braggadocious. You can do whatever you want with it. It was a good message. It worked. He got elected. We don't have, and I know the conservatives try and do the positive message thing, but they stay in the safe zone, man. They should come out and they should say, to lead, to get into a prosperous future, we need a relationship with the Americans that's tighter than ever. We need to repair that bond. And we can do it as a sovereign nation. We need to retake our sovereignty. China is a strategic threat. China is a principal geopolitical adversary. They are a threat to North America. Their triads are operating here in Canada. They own way too much of our resources. We either need to nationalize them or bring them back home. That's the tack. That's the message nobody wants to deliver. Why? They're all scared. They're all scared of actually showing genuine leadership. I don't understand why that is. We can carve out a future. We have the support of the United States if we just take it. And, I mean, January 20th was Polyev's last post. This isn't a good sign from the Conservative Party of Canada. Because they wait and they poll test. And they try to come up with a message, and they try to come up with a strategy, and they try to come up with the least offensive thing that they can say to the Canadian public. Instead of building a base out, instead of convincing people of the merit of their views, they try to figure out how to cater to what the public already thinks. And if you haven't figured out, as I have experienced over the last couple days, that the public mind is an absolute cesspool. You know, it's in the United States, you know, the Democrats and Republicans, they're brutally divided. But they don't disagree on things like, they know there's crime. They know there's crime. They disagree on how to deal with it. They disagree on the source of that crime or the reasons for that crime. I don't really want to digress into that too much, but there's still a lot of glue there. And they might argue about causes and what to do. Or the Democrats might not have a plan at all as to what to do. They don't really have a center right now. But there's a lot of glue that holds the United States together. California doesn't want to leave. New York doesn't want to leave. Texas doesn't want to leave. They're all very different, but they're sticking together. Canada is in, a large part of the Canadian people are in absolute denial about what Canada is. And it doesn't seem to matter what facts you show them. It doesn't seem to matter how much time you put into the work. The effort that I put into these videos, the individual attention I actually give real people at times to do what they want, because they're like, show me. So I work to show them privately. You know, I take large chunks of my time and try to show individuals privately. They don't want to read it. They don't want to look at it. They don't want to hear it. They say they do, but then when you actually do the work, they refuse to look. We are the most hypnotized, brainwashed nation on this planet, and I understand that's what the Conservative Party is up against. But they're not going to win. They're not going to make change by catering to that mindset. They got to combat it. They got to fight it. They got to get aggressive. They have the ability to call a press conference and spend hours arguing with the press, very convincingly. Pierre Polyev is a debater bar none. He's the best the Conservative Party has. Unleash that man's talent. Free him from the messaging and the political advisors and just let him do. And with that platform, you could actually start to convince some of these radicals that they have been wrong. And they're not even radicals. A lot of these people are just average Canadians that are completely delusional about the nature of their own nation. That's why so many of them are calling for this divorce from the United States. It doesn't work. We cannot exist without them. We don't exist without them. Carney's right. If we divorce ourselves from the Americans, it is going to lead to suffering. It is going to lead to a decline in your living standards. It is going to lead to massive social services cuts, to social services that already don't work. He's correct. Who's going to deliver the positive message? Who's going to say we don't have to suffer? We can prosper. We can build again. And it might already be too late to deliver that message, but, you know, I guess I wait on some kind of tweet from Pierre Poilievre. It's been a couple days. Maybe we'll get one today. Maybe we'll get some kind of statement. I don't have much hope for what the content of that's going to be. I really long for an effort, at the very least, at the federal level. In the meantime, Albertans keep lining up to sign the separation petition. I fully support it. I hope Saskatchewan can wake up. I hope Scotty can wake up. He's sitting there beside Mark Carney, and Mark Carney's talking about a new world order, and I know. You can see on Scott's face, he gets it. He gets it. But for whatever reason, he doesn't want to take the next step. It would be more convenient for all of us if the Saskatchewan Party gave up on this allegiance to Mark Carney in Ottawa, which has been screwing Saskatchewan and Alberta for 150 years. It would be much easier if we started having that conversation at that level and started moving this thing forward. But I have my doubts that's ever going to happen. I hope Saskatchewan, I hope the people of Saskatchewan wake up that if Alberta goes, we need to go with them. And whether it's into independence or it's into statehood, it doesn't matter. Canada, under its current leadership, is not a good deal. Not just for the West. It's not a good deal for anybody. But the fact is, millions and millions and millions of Easterners are completely convinced that Canada is this gold standard when it comes to nations. It's just not. It's 2026, man. We still have a king. The head of state is the governor general. And the cabinet is all the things I say. Fake charter rights, no right to recall, no expectation that you can ever hold your parliamentarians accountable. You vote for a conservative, he flips liberal. You vote for a liberal, they flip conservative. Doesn't trigger a by-election. You can't do anything. You're powerless. You have no rights. You don't have any property rights. Canada, the system sucks. People keep telling me to leave. If you don't like it, leave. I'm not leaving. I don't want to leave. Do I think about it sometimes? Do I think that my pride, my stubbornness to leave might be a bad thing for my kids? You bet I do. But I don't want to leave. I moved to Saskatchewan because I feel like this is the hill to die on if it comes to that. This place, Western Canada, where the beauty of Canada still survives, where the culture that I grew up with in Ontario and I watched get erased still exists and is predominant here. That's why I'm here. I don't want to leave, and I shouldn't have to leave. We're trying to save these people from a system that doesn't want to give them anything back. Just high taxes, declining services, declining standards of living, and no promise that it will ever get better. No promise of better fundamental human rights. No promise of more autonomy for the citizen. More say, direct plebiscites on your ballots. Why can't you vote for policies? Why can't a citizen in Canada, other than signing a petition that goes to Parliament and disappears, they don't work? Why can't a citizen's initiative create a ballot initiative? The Americans have that. Wouldn't you like to have that? Wouldn't you like to have an elected Senate? Wouldn't you like to be able to elect the Governor General? That's a simple one. We can actually do that without opening the Constitution, but nobody even talks about it. The only talk we had was Justin Trudeau saying, this will be the last first-past-the-post election in 2015, and we're going to go to, the idea was to go to a preferential ballot system, which sucks. It would actually have made things much worse. There's no real bold vision for Canada. And the guy that we have as prime minister, this central banker who said at the beginning of the video, it's a bad idea to ask a central banker for political advice, is delivering a message of doom and millions of Canadians are applauding it as though it's salvation. What more can I say? I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.